is that Radon, my guy?
Radon low-key sounds racist.
It does.
Or it sounds like a Godzilla species from one. Fallout. Fallout? Why did I say it like that?
Welcome to Pastor Aggressive Podcast. Real life, real faith, real talk. Look, we've been doing a lot of construction around here lately. This Bible is the dustiest Bible. We got dust on our Bibles, and we're playing Marvel Rivals or whatever it was.
Not for real.
That your boy said.
Yeah, my boy.
Yeah, I don't know.
That could have been your boy. We ain't going to talk about it, though.
We ain't going to talk about that. Oh, man. It is dusty down here, but we're making progress.
We are, dude.
We're working on this new studio wall.
Bathroom's almost done.
The bathroom's almost done. Your room's almost, like, done. I'd say by Thanksgiving, I'm calling it right now, by Thanksgiving, this place is going to be fire down here. It's going to be perfect.
Yeah, it's probably going to be fire down here because you guys celebrate Halloween, and God's going to strike this place down and burn it, dude.
I got homeowner's insurance, my guy.
God's not bigger than my homeowner's
Isn't fire insurance? Isn't that what it's called when you're a Christian, just so you don't go to hell?
No, I think fire insurance means that you have good insurance.
Oh, okay.
You know, you like work at Cummins. You're like, I got fire insurance. You
know what I'm saying? I work for the IU Health, man.
I got that fire insurance.
Nah, dog. They ain't.
You don't think ICE members are getting good insurance?
I don't know, because I don't even know who's actually officially. There's a bunch of people just in masks and bulletproof vests kidnapping people. That doesn't make you officially like part of a. That doesn't give you benefits.
Yeah, my uncle Randy used to do that, and he wasn't in the ICE. In the ICE.
His van had a dragon painted on the side of it, and a wizard with a crystal ball just like.
What? Oddly specific. Do you have an Uncle Randy?
I think I've seen that van. Yes, I see that van. That's a pastor joke, you know. Anyway.
I don't get it. You had a pretty fire joke today about Baptists, I thought.
Oh, I was reading in Revelation 5, and it says they'll sing a new song, and I said some of you all just in your heads said nope.
Yeah.
Because you don't like new songs.
Yeah.
That might have been a little mean, honestly. But it's true, so it's fine, right? It's okay to be mean if it's true.
I don't think so, bro. I don't know. People put a lot of honor on truth, quote-unquote truth.
Yeah, yeah.
So they do anything to get that truth out.
We got some new lighting in here. It's looking good. Like, I'm telling you, man, when we get this studio wall up, new lighting, this camera's not even bad. It's just I don't know how to use it very well. But once we get this, like, we're going to have this thing perfect. It's going to be ready for us if I actually hit the camera, though. But I haven't done that yet, so you can't see it yet, but you're going to see it for the clips because I didn't start the camera on the right time.
Lord have mercy.
You know, but yeah.
So it's all right, though. I'll give it to you. We haven't recorded a video in a few weeks.
Yeah, yeah. We did the live thing, which was cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. Fun. And we had actually more people than I expected. Yeah, I literally expected there to be zero people there. Like, seriously.
We had more than zero, so that's good. Yeah. The event was actually great. It turned out.
I actually expected there to be like negative people, like deadites or whatever they're called.
Yeah,
like maybe there's some deadites in the lobby. Because
we were reading the Necronomicon from the podcast.
We're like painting pentagrams, reading the Necronomicon. Dude, our crowd would have been huge if we were doing
the
that.
The venue's like, hey, we know you didn't pay a deposit to rent this place. But we're gonna need some money from you from the pentagram you burned into the grass lawn. And then you salted it so nothing could ever grow there again. We talked a lot about witchcraft today, didn't we?
We did. One of your friends is very witchcrafty.
She knew a
lot. Hey, and maybe she'll be in on one of our podcasts.
She wants to
later.
Sit in on the podcast. She doesn't want to be on it. She just wants to sit in and see what a podcast is, which is very funny.
That makes me a little uncomfortable.
That's a very funny old person thing to say.
I know. But it's very bold. That's low-key worse than doing a live podcast because it's not like you have an audience. It's like
we just have an audience of one.
It's like when you're in school and the principal's sitting in on your class.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what
you're
it's
like,
about.
Now
to
I got
to
behave myself.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, even the teachers behaving themselves is just weird.
Yeah, and you're like, this isn't how my teacher normally acts.
Nah, but she had like decorative witches up, and I made a joke.
She made a joke about it, and then she started talking about the Salem witch trial,
and then she started calling me fat and unhealthy, and telling me to change my ways.
Yeah, which reminded me of the Stephen King movie Thinner, where this witch gets hit by a guy's car and then curses him that he's going to continue to lose weight because he's a fat guy.
Really?
And then he gets really skinny and dies. We should watch that sometime. I mean, actually, no, we shouldn't, because I don't want to open any doorways or anything from the stuff we're watching.
Yeah, we got a friend who thinks we got to be careful with that. Because I'm watching Annabelle. Because
you watched an Annabelle movie that you're opening doorways to demonic dolls. If he saw the amount of dolls I have in my house, the toys I have.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be like, they're going to get possessed because you've been watching too much Annabelle.
Yeah, it's already. Yo, I watched a podcast with Michael Knowles and Ruslan KD, and they both said that they don't think the Annabelle doll is really possessed. They said demons can't possess inhuman objects.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think that's probably true, but they can. Well, I don't know. Bones? Huh?
They can use bones.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's the whole reason, like, Michael the Archangel wrestles with Satan over Moses' body.
And that's an inhuman thing.
Hey, so you know what's crazy about that? Let's talk about that, because I think that's actually fun. We have no idea what we're going to talk about today, but I think that's actually something really fun to talk about. There's some speculative stuff we can do in the Bible where it's like, I'm not going to preach this, but this is my speculation about why that is. Because it's like, why does the devil want Moses' mm-hmm. body so bad?
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine if I don't know how Satan works, but if Satan could have like literally inhabited Moses' body, the Israelites, who were already at that point really prone to idolatry, can you mm-hmm. imagine if like Moses came back from the dead?
Yeah.
And suddenly they're like, oh yeah, now Moses is our God.
Like, so what do you think like would happen if Satan would have gotten Moses' bones?
I think he would have possessed Moses' body.
But he was dead.
Yeah, like, yeah, and just like brought his body back to life and been like, hey guys, I'm Moses and now I'm your God. And then they would have worshipped him.
So do you think there's something sacred about our bodies? In that sense?
Well, that's like,
even
why
after we die?
That's why Coeta told you to stop eating fast food.
Why?
It's because your body's a temple.
Yeah, she got really offended when I said, I don't know if I want to live past 40.
She did.
42.
She did. here's the thing about the body thing is
The body is the temple thing. When people say that to me, it makes me want to jump 70 feet off a cliff.
And not in her case, but most of the time when it's people saying that, it's Southern Baptist pastors.
Talking about tattoos.
It's Southern Baptist pastors who weigh like 400 pounds.
Yeah.
They're up there dancing like Elder Michael Jacobs, and they're like, but your body's a temple. You shouldn't be doing that. While they're eating, literally at that time, eating fried chicken.
They're at the Chinese buffet every Sunday morning and afternoon.
They're making that JB special that my friend JB showed me, where you take the sugar biscuit and put the ice cream on it, and then the cream puff. Yeah.
I told a guy about that the other day at a Chinese buffet.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good.
He didn't try it. Yeah.
What's wrong with it, man? That's messed
up. I don't know. He did the sugar biscuit by itself. I'm like, bro, you're missing
out. No, you got to put the ice cream on the top. Everyone knows this now.
But she was saying my body was a temple.
Yeah.
I need to treat it better, because I told her I'd be eating fast food and stuff, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know. It's hard for me to, like, have a regimen here. You know what I mean? I'm like...
almost spilled my Baja Blast while we're talking about things that are healthy for you.
I'm, like, living in my friend's basement. You know what I mean? And it's like... I don't really have the means or time, honestly, right now to, like, be cooking and stuff like that. So I'll just be eating.
Oh, you're cooking, dog. We're cooking right now on this podcast. I actually did something really healthy today that I just taught you about. I call it the factory reset. It's where I chug a Celsius and then take a 30-minute nap.
And why is that a factory reset?
Because then I just wake up and, like, colors are more vivid and life is just so
Do you put your CPAP machine on when you sleep after that?
No, not after
that. Oh, that's a real factory reset.
Yeah, not for that little nap, dog. It wouldn't be as effective if I did. It would kind of ruin the point. You got to jump start that heart a little bit.
Kick start my heart, you know that song?
Yeah.
I was totally going to say something and you just started talking about nonsense. Oh, yeah, this idea of like Satan uses Moses' bone and like speculation.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes me think of like
Transfiguration.
Transfiguration and John maybe still being alive and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And how it is interesting to get into stuff like that. You talk about that in your book. That's something I really actually liked from your book, is people who kind of idolize like conspiracy or like, it's hard. Like, if something just seems too blatantly obvious, there's some people that are just like, well, that can't be true.
Yeah, I need more than that. Yeah.
They have like a distrust.
Well, there's a danger to it. It's fun. It's fun to
It's a
think,
fantasy. It's like fun, movies. Yeah, it's what movies do to us.
It's fun to speculate these things, but it's also dangerous when you start to make them your doctrine. And so I talked about that this morning when I was talking about like this idea that Satan was the first worship leader in heaven.
Where does that come from? I've never heard anyone say that in my life.
It comes from this passage in Ezekiel where it's talking about the king of Tyre, and it's referring to like
doctrine from Ezekiel.
It's mocking the king of Tyre, basically saying he's Satan, and it talks about his tendrils and his pipes, right?
That sounds like Songs of Solomon speech.
Yeah. And so people take that to mean the pipes. They're like, oh, so he's like, he's like built in trumpets and flutes and stuff. But the actual Hebrew word there is, what did I say today? I can't remember. It's,
Scubula.
No, it starts with a Q. No, it's neck something. It's a N-E-Q something. But anyway, but that really is more like a hole or a crevice, meaning like that would hold the precious stones. Like a tendril is like a precious stone or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like those things go together. The other Hebrew word for pipes that means like flute or trumpet is chalil. And so it's like a different word entirely. And anytime it's talking about David, like it's playing like, when he's talking about instruments and he's talking about flutes and things like that, when he says pipes, he uses the word Khalil. So that's the musical version. The other thing is something else. But people have literally taken that one verse and said, well, because he was prideful and wanted worship for himself, then he must have been involved in worship, which all angels were involved in worship.
Right.
And then they're like, and so since he's built out of instruments because of this one verse in Ezekiel, then he must have been the worship leader. And that's why he owns all music and why metal music belongs to Satan and all this crazy stuff.
All right. Now, I do believe that bad music, to put it in blatant terms, is a gateway.
Right. But bad anything is a gateway. Satan can use anything.
Bad.
He wasn't the first film director, but he can also use bad films.
Have you heard about the old Hollywood rules of like what you could put out and stuff like that and how it changed? Like this whole there was this guy that did this whole view of Hollywood on how it used to like have morals. Like you couldn't put nudity out. You couldn't put like things that were too violent. There was like agreed upon terms. And now it's like, now it seems like it's controlled by Satan. Even like, not even just what they're putting out, but what's happening while they're making the movies.
Yes. Yeah. But he can use any of, like, he can use any kind of art, but that doesn't mean he's the first artist. You know what I mean? Like that's like all of that stuff also belongs to God. God created that thing. God created our hearts to want to create music and create art and create, you know, all of this stuff. He created us to want to create.
Right.
And so that means that
in his image.
Right. So it's not inherently a bad thing because it didn't ever belong to Satan to begin with. But
yeah, I don't know.
So we can do those same things with anything. We can say, well, why did he want Moses' body? And maybe he wanted it because he wanted to possess him and become a god himself. Who knows? But that's like a speculation. And it's fun to speculate about those things.
We were talking about this on the podcast the other day, though. It's like, we were talking about Facebook, remember, like social media, and we're like, this thing is overwhelmingly bad, right?
Yes.
Like, it's hard to find a good, there are good reasons, and there's people that are doing it right.
Right.
But it's hard to find one. Can we just call this bad?
Social media?
Yeah. And I thought we agreed that, yes, we can just.
Yeah.
Like, it would be better not to have any social media for anybody.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's probably true.
So I think that's where I wouldn't say social media is owned by Satan, but I would say like social media, I would blanketly say this, social media is a tool of the devil, point blank.
Well, but I think there is good coming from it. Like some people are using it for good.
How?
I get a lot of really good content from TikTok.
Yeah, but it's like, most of the time, it's like a bunch of stuff you don't need to know. It's too much stuff to even retain.
Yeah.
Like when you're studying, like your dad, dude, when he was young, and I'm not like knocking you because we're in a different culture and a different time.
Yeah.
But when he was young, he was probably like reading books and going places and hearing people and talking to people. Yeah. And like, that's how you like really retain stuff. So I feel like if we spent less time, like personally for me in construction, there's tons of construction videos online and they're interesting to me and I love learning about them. But until I frame a wall,
right,
watching a video of framing a wall is not really doing anything for me. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
But I'm not going to just try to shoot down all your things. Like you said once, and I really liked this, you were like, if Paul knew how we were using Facebook, he'd be ashamed.
Yeah.
So like we should be using like Facebook and stuff like that as an evangelism tool.
Yes.
A community tool. People are on Facebook in your community.
I think community tool is the main thing.
It's right.
Like, I think that's the missed opportunity is that we've allowed it to let us separate ourselves instead of bring us together, which is what I think ultimately that's what it was created for.
Well, like all things, we've used it to make big of ourselves and not big of God.
Yep. Yeah,
and with social media, you can make so big of God, and people are going to poop on you and hate on you, but like, there's Christians out here that have a huge following and a huge impact, you know what I mean? So, yeah, not things aren't inherently bad, but I think things are, it's better, we ought not do them, I guess.
Sure, yeah.
Just in case. Like a lady we were talking to earlier was talking about social media and how sometimes she can't keep her mouth shut.
Yeah.
And I was thinking in my head, but I didn't tell her because I knew it'd be inflammatory. I was like, then you should probably cut your right arm off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
do we should probably talk about the elephant in the room though, honestly.
What?
That you cut your hair.
Yeah, I did cut my
hair. If people are seeing the video, they're seeing that your hair is short.
Yep.
Yeah. It looks good, though, man. I really think it does.
Every woman I've ran into told me it doesn't, besides my mom.
Said it doesn't?
Yeah, said they miss my long hair. I really like...
Yeah, that's a girl thing, I think.
I know. And you know what I think that is? Is like, I'm like the gay best friend with long hair. I want women to be intimidated by me in a way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
I don't want them to be like, what's up, girl,
yeah,
when I show up.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
So, like, hey, girly, can I braid your hair?
Yeah. Oh, shoot, dude.
Were you getting your hair braided by girls? Was that happening a lot?
That happened at church camp. Two different church camps.
Yeah, that makes sense. That tracks. Church camp, that's a classic thing. Girls love to braid hair at church camp.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to give them, let them give me a low taper fade next time I see them. I'm going to show up to camp. I'm just going to become that like young guy that's super corny. And I'm going to show up with like 6'7" or cut into my head.
Yeah. I love that. Let's do that. We could do that tonight. We could shave 6'7" into your head.
Just mine?
Yeah.
Can we do your beard?
No. I used to, when I had hair, I used to have racing stripes going from my hair into my beard. Isn't that cool? That makes me cool, right, Zach? Tell me that makes me cool, Zach.
Actually, quite the opposite.
Yeah, it's probably like, I don't know, 2007, 2008, something like that.
And your hair was like that?
Yeah.
I seen a picture of you earlier.
Faded up.
I seen a picture of you earlier in band, and you look so much different. You were big, dude. You've lost a lot of weight.
And what? Where did you see this picture?
Somewhere on your wall somewhere.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You were a big boy, dude.
Yeah.
You had some, like, meat chuck arms, dude. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It looks like your arms were just like Walmart bags filled with old diapers.
I was getting up there, bud. I was starting to look like some of those Southern Baptist preachers I was talking about.
And now you're jacked taking pictures in the bathroom with a hammer over your Peter.
hey,
that's not what happened. I actually don't really know what happened, but we won't go into it.
I wish I had this light we had right now, though, I'll tell you that much. We got this new light. We're using it for the podcast. It probably was used for OnlyFans before that.
Have you ever heard people say only if these walls could talk?
Yeah.
Only if this light could talk right now.
Dude. Yeah, that'd be problematic. If this light could talk, it'd get canceled.
Probably not in our climate.
Nah, but this is, but it's cool. I think it makes everything look really great, I think.
Yeah, personally. I found this in an apartment that I left behind. Actually, my supervisor, when he first came on, his wife, like, Facebook stalked me.
Yeah.
So she found my Facebook, my old Facebook, my old Instagram, old everything. She found the podcast and all types of stuff. So he knew I had a podcast, and he told me somebody left these lights behind, so he saved them for me for the podcast.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's a pretty cool dude.
Yeah, it looks good. I mean, it really is. It's really helping. So tell him thanks for that. That's helpful.
Yeah, man.
So is there been anything this week that's really struck a chord with you that's made you think, oh, man, I want to talk about that on the podcast? We got a lot of folks wanting to come on and be guests and stuff, and we just got to figure out how that's going to work logistically. And we got, you know, I'm going to be out of town, and so we got to get some episodes under the belt and whatnot. But
yeah, we need to drop a poignant one soon. But I'm really struggling with, like, family, bro. Like, you know, my little brother lives all the way out in Utah by himself, and his friend here in town just killed himself, his best friend growing up. And, like, he's dealing with that, and I can't really see him or talk to him and make sure he's doing all right. My mom's wilding out. My older brother's wilding out. I'm talking to my family. Everybody's just making little of God and blaspheming, and just they're living a different life.
Yeah.
And it's so hard for me to be around that. You know what I mean? Like, my cousin just texted me, and he's like, hey, we should go skating again soon. And I'm like, I don't want to be, like, in that life anymore of, like, all that family stuff and this and that. Like, this is what I love about, like, going out to do ministry, like, to find people and build new relationships, is because I can't do anything with these people anymore. Like, I can't speak reason into my aunt's life when she's seen who I was for 16 years.
Oh, yeah,
years.
Dude. I'm so, no joke, that's this other book I'm writing right now. That's what it's about. Is like how difficult it is to transition into ministering to people that have seen you at your worst or seen you do stupid things, or, you know, family members especially, I think, is the hardest. So why do you think that is, though?
I don't know. I think, first of all, I think people, older people, just have, like, an experience with Christianity that was wrong. I think that's why so much of our youth is, like, thirsting for it, because they've never had a real experience with it.
Right.
So my mom, she used to be Catholic, and now she's like, oh, I don't know if I should say this on pod. She's just wilding out.
Yeah, I got you.
Doing things that, like, Christians definitely disavow. And she would say that she believes in Jesus, but I think anybody looking into her life would say, I think this person's living for the world.
Yeah.
Her kids are all moved out. She's, like, drinking and drinking's fine, but she's, like, she's never been a drinker.
But she's, like, partying.
She's, like, trying to let loose.
Okay, yeah.
And I don't know. I worry about her because I keep telling her, I was like, Mom, you got to find the things you're struggling with are silly. Like, you need to find the deeper meaning of life. You need to find, like, what is your purpose other than being a mom?
And what's funny is your mom is probably, she's like my age, right? Like, probably.
Nah, she's in her 50s.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she's about 60.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a little older.
Okay. I thought she was, like, around my age or something.
No, she's, like, 60, almost 60.
Okay.
But my dad passed away, and they were never really, they've been divorced since I was in middle school, I think.
Yeah.
So she's just been, her whole entire identity has been being a mom to three kids. She worked three jobs.
Yeah.
Everything she did was for the kids.
Yeah.
So now she's like,
she's
trying,
like,
to have fun.
My time. Yeah.
And it's like, no, like, now is your time to slow down.
Yeah.
Not to regain what you lost.
Sure.
You didn't lose anything and you have nothing to gain.
Yeah.
But I think she feels really bad about our childhood, and she's always apologizing, and she feels bad she can't do more and this and that. And she just feels bad so much that she starts, it's like that verse I read. Did I read it to you? I can't remember where it was from, but God was saying, like, in times of trouble, you love to turn to sin.
Yeah.
And I can't remember where it was. I think it was Isaiah 1, and I'm butchering it, but that's essentially what it says. Believe me, trust me. Trust me.
It's in there somewhere. Yeah. Like, is that in Hebrews?
In Hebrews, yeah. Hebrews 4. So she's just wilding out, man, and looking, searching for something, and she needs the Lord. She needs the Lord more than anybody I've ever met in my life, because she just,
She's just somebody who doesn't think she needs anything.
Right. And the so that's the problem. That's the part that makes it hard is she doesn't think she does.
Yeah.
She thinks she's got it all worked. She's like, I'm good. I got sprinkled as a baby in the Catholic Church. I'm good to go.
She thinks she's a good person.
Yeah. And yeah.
And so I do too.
Right, right, right. But that doesn't, that's the problem with like this works-based faith idea is that then people are like, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I didn't never kill nobody, so I'm fine. I'm good, you know?
Yeah. I never had sex with my Uncle Larry like my sister did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm good.
So it's like, yeah, it's fine.
Wow, that was a little out of pocket. I apologize. Yeah, just hit that whole thing with a clown bleep.
No, it's okay. I'm going to leave it in.
No, please don't.
I don't want
to
clown
the people. The people at your church already have a lower view of me than what they should.
They hold you to a lower standard. So I was thinking maybe if I can get this pulled up here. I told you I wrote this poem about my dad, right?
Yeah.
Do you want me to read it? Just on.
Yeah.
The
no, I love that you just don't care about my mom and what she's going through.
No, I do. But this.
No, no, it's cool.
This makes me think about that stuff, like because. There's stuff that when you think about your childhood that sparks something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's what I was saying. Like, I think your mom is so caught up in the things that she feels like she didn't do right that she's trying to, like, somehow fix that by just doing the things she never got to do. But yeah. those aren't gonna fix things. That doesn't change things.
It's that or – I think it's that or that she's, like, drowning out – what her true calling is.
Mm.
I've seen her seriously think about Jesus before. I've seen it.
Yeah.
It's very rare. And I pray with her when we go out to eat and stuff like that. But I think she's running from conviction. But anyways, let's hear this poem.
Do you want me to read it?
I want you to read it.
Okay. all right. I'm probably going to cry because when I was writing it, it was really making me cry a lot. I finally made those cookies that you love so much. The ones mom stopped making when she started eating healthy. Peanut butter, but mostly butter, with chocolate kisses on top. They tasted like memories. I finally preached the sermon you planned to preach. The one where Paul tells his friends to stop breaking his heart. He knows it's goodbye. The one you were going to retire with. I wept when I preached it. I finally wrote that book you said you were going to write. Well... not the exact one, but I wrote a book. I thought of all the things you would correct and how proud you would be that I did it. I heard your voice on every page. I finally told that joke you'd always tell about the old lady and the pastor would visit with the bowl full of nuts that weren't what they seemed. People laughed in mild disgust. You would have laughed the loudest. I finally made those cookies, Dad. They were okay. But the kitchen felt a little too quiet. I sat there with a glass of milk. They were always better with you. Yeah.
That's pretty good, so, bro.
I don't know. It just, for some reason, I was thinking about these stupid cookies my mom used to make.
Yeah.
That she doesn't make any of that stuff anymore. She only makes, like, healthy cookies that taste like crap.
Like oatmeal, overnight oatmeal or cookies.
Like, I don't know. They're just not as good. They're like bitter because she uses like some fake sweetener, which is fine. It's good. It's probably better for us. But like she used to make these like bad for you, high cholesterol, diabetic cookies, you know? And yeah. But yeah, so I don't know. For some reason I thought of that last night. And what made me think maybe this is the place to read it or right now is because what you're saying resonates with me because I totally get that idea of like we have this idea of what our childhood looked like and our parents have a different idea of what it looked like. And so like your mom feels bad because she feels like she didn't give you the childhood that you deserved or whatever, you know, weird thing or the best one she could have given you, but she did. She gave you the best childhood she could give you. Or
I don't know if I agree with that verbiage, but I think
she tried.
I think she tried.
Yeah. Yeah, which is all you can really ask for.
I think she was ill-equipped and my dad was a piece of shit. She's very manipulable, as you know.
We yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I think what may have happened, I don't know this for sure.
What had happened was
is my dad was a a tool.
Okay.
Took advantage of my poor, innocent mom while they were working together. Got married, had kids. He got comfortable and just fell off the wagon.
Yeah.
And then they got divorced. Then she hated him. Then he died. And then she could finally let that part of her life go. And now she left Bajit.
Yeah.
And she's having unprotected sex with a man that she told me about.
Sure. I'm disturbed by the fact that you know for a fact that it's unprotected. The fact that she went into that excruciating of a detail.
Dude, we were drinking mimosas, mimosa flight, and she was telling me about things only the Lord should know. Yeah. Honestly, I hope the Lord doesn't know.
Well,
for her sake of getting into heaven.
So
just kidding. It's not about works.
Unless this peace treaty goes through, she's probably not going to make it.
No, that's out of pocket, dude. Okay.
I don't know why.
How long you been waiting to sit on that one? You've been sitting on that one for a few days. Huh? You saw that on Fox. You're like, I got a super funny joke about Zach's mom now.
I got to make this Fox and Friends joke on the podcast. They fired Tucker. They're going after Candace.
They're going after my mom's boyfriend.
Probably because he's an illegal. Anyway. I don't even know what I was gonna say. I lost all track of everything.
Bro, so go ahead.
No, you were talking that thing you said about your mom feeling like that part of her life is over now, like she can let that go because your dad's gone. We're just airing all of the family laundry here that probably isn't ours to air. But when Tiffany's dad died, it was a very similar situation with not her biological mom, but her stepmom, who he was no longer with as well.
Yeah.
Like, I called her the day he passed and, like, let her know what was going on. Because I was like, hey, I know you haven't heard from me in a long time, but I thought you should know because you were married to this guy for several years. That he passed away, and this is what's going on. I think I messaged her, maybe. I don't know. But she like called me right away. Wanted to talk to Tiffany. It was like a really good conversation. They've reconnected since then, but I think she kind of needed that closure to reconnect with us. Does that make sense? Because like that piece of it was somehow like making it more difficult to connect with us.
Yeah. Yeah, I really I miss my dad, and I loved him a lot. But I'll tell you what, it's nice, you know, not having somebody calling me asking me for money.
Yeah.
Or somebody sending me manipulative I love you texts just so he can get the next thing out of me.
Yeah, sure.
And it's nice not calling my little brother and hearing about how he's stealing his food or his money or his weed, which he probably shouldn't have anyway.
But now your little brother's, he's not there anymore, right? He's in Utah, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, which, my dad's dead, but...
But he was in, like, Arizona with your dad, right?
So my mom kicked us all out when I turned 18.
Yeah, right.
And he went with my dad and then ended up moving to Arizona. And then my dad passed, which is crazy. I feel like I've talked about it on the podcast, but I like, kind of prayed that, like, God would do whatever it takes to, like...
Right.
To save him an endless suffering of our family because of him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then he passed away, and my little brother, he just took off. Yeah. Started doing great for himself. I don't think he knows the Lord, but...
But was like a welder or something, right? Making...
Yeah.
Yeah, doing...
Making like over $100,000 a year.
Yeah, doing some good work.
Yeah,
like
money
hard
we dream
work.
About.
Yeah.
So he's like the most head-driven, like awesome kid in the world. And my dad being alive was just holding him back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is a crazy thing to like say.
Yeah.
But like, unless you experience it, dude, you don't understand like real... Like emotion, like I struggle with emotions because emotions have always been like fake to me. Like, emotions have been a means to an end.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that, because that's interesting. I never thought of it from that perspective. But you talk about, who is it? I always want to say Matt Walsh, but that's like a conservative
Michael talking Knowles.
Head. Is it Michael Knowles?
The Catholic guy?
No. This guy, I'm pretty sure this guy's last name is Walsh, but he's a preacher, but he's like a reformed guy.
Oh, the guy that cries a lot?
Yeah. And you're always like, oh, I just don't like it because he's crying all the time.
Oh, what is his name? It's not Walsh.
Are you sure?
Just look up crying pastor.
No, I don't think it's going to be that.
He's associated with Vody Bachum, that crowd.
Yeah. And I loved Vody, too, which R.I.P. Vody. That's
R.I.P. Vody, dude.
That's a bummer.
I know.
I thought his name was Walsh.
Now he's chilling in Abraham's bosom.
Yeah, that's right. We could talk about that all day, too. No, that's not it. No, you might be right. His last name may not be Walsh.
What is his name, dude? It's on the tip of
Washer.
Paul Washer.
Paul Washer, yeah. That's the one. We got there. Great teamwork. Yeah, what was Paul the point, Washer. Though? Well, you always like, oh, I don't really like Paul Washer or any of those emotional guys. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what you mean by that. I'm like an emotional guy when I preach and stuff. And I realize now why you think that. Because I really like emotional preaching. I think it's like it's vulnerable. It shows, to me, it shows like sincerity. Mm-hmm. But to you, it shows the opposite. And that's interesting. Because you've seen emotions used to manipulate.
Yeah.
So much.
You see emotions used to manipulate, though, when you look at your kids, though. Like, kids do this.
Yes.
Kids will cry to get what they want.
Right.
Kids will do things. I mean, it's just like, it was particularly, like, traumatizing to me, I guess you could say. But it's something that's not abnormal to the common person.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, I don't trust. This is why God was such a logical thing for me.
Right.
I don't trust what you think or you feel or what I feel or what I think.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I have to have like a hard line. Like when Paul Washer's preaching, I like a lot of what he preaches about.
Yeah.
But I'm like, why are you crying, bro? I can't understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to do this.
Yeah.
But if it's sincere, so be it.
Yeah.
But when I see that, I automatically think it's insincere.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's really interesting. And that's and you're right, kids do that. But your experience with adults is that.
Yeah, my dad doing it
and
to
me.
And
that's crazy. Yeah. I never thought of it that way. But that is like a totally different perspective. Because I'm always like, why don't you like these Paul Washer videos I'm sending you? Because I always think like they're really good. You're like, yeah, I'm not. He's just so emotional.
Also, but I'm just kind of a contrarian. I don't. We need to talk about the roots of that.
That's true. But. Yeah. Let's unpack that.
You sound like a charismatic guy. Let's unpack the childhood ties.
Let's break the stronghold of your generational curse.
Let's break the stronghold of your spirit of anti-Semitism or whatever it's called. Wait, what? Wait, hold on. I am not anti-Semitic.
Right.
Nick Fuentes has some good points.
He's
but I'm definitely not there yet, okay? Or ever will be is what I'm not saying like I'm on the trajectory to
it. Right.
Like I love Jews. I think those who bless Israel will be blessed. I think Jews reign supreme.
You're over here going, I've got Jewish friends.
I look Jewish, but I'm Polish.
Yeah.
Which is also another reason why I should not like the Jews.
Right.
Are Polacks Jews?
So there are some. There were Jews in Poland.
I thought a lot of Polish were Nazis.
I think that the Jews in Poland were especially oppressed by Nazis in Poland.
I should be one with the Jews. I'm.
You're a black Hebrew Israelite.
I'm a Messianic Jew.
Not really.
I'm a Messianic Jew.
You're not Jewish. Yo, I don't think you are.
Yo, I'm a Messianic Jew. And I low key could be a black Hebrew Israelite.
We need to maybe do a 23andMe with you, bud, because I don't know. I don't know about all that. I think you might.
Bro, you'll see this schnauzer on me, dude.
I don't know.
If I was wearing a yarmulke, you'd be sold.
I don't know. I don't. You might. Your skin tone. You might be Jewish. I don't know.
Yeah, I got that brown skin.
I don't know anything about your family at all, other than what you've told me, which is not. I'll be honest. It's not great. You're not painting a beautiful picture here.
My mom's last name was Poisson.
That sounds like you might be Korean.
My mom's last name was Jong-un.
Oh, dude. I don't know what's going on here. This is crazy.
Yeah.
But
RP to dads, man.
All nations, tribes, and tongues. Yeah, whatever.
What do you think about the Tower of Babel? Do you think there were already languages before the Tower of Babel?
No.
Really?
Well, I mean, there was a language.
You don't think there were different languages?
No, I don't think so. I think that's where it came from.
I feel like there's a time before the Tower of Babel where it speaks of other languages.
No, because before the Tower of Babel, there's not a whole lot. Tower of Babel is like
20 chapters into Genesis, isn't it?
Yeah, so like just right after the flood, kind of. Well, I mean, not right after, but the first civilization after the flood.
Huh.
Yeah.
Is the Book of Enoch in the original canon? I feel like we talked about this and you looked it up, but you never told me the answer. In the original canon.
I don't know what we call the original. Yeah, what's the original canon?
That's the 73 book.
That would be the argument, but yes.
Do you know I'm sorry.
So I was talking to somebody today about the Book of Enoch.
Yeah, I heard.
And she said that she's read the books of Enoch, and she said that the first one feels like it legitimately might be written by Enoch. She said the second one definitely feels like a forgery of someone calling themselves Enoch.
Really?
Yeah. But she said the first one feels like it might actually be, like, it would fit in, like, the context of, like, Genesis and stuff.
I wonder where she got a Book of Enoch.
You can just get those on the internet.
I know, but yeah. You got to, like, go out of your way to, like, yeah. You got to see a TikTok first. You know what I'm saying?
Like, buy it in the TikTok shop. Click the orange cart to get the Book of Enoch.
Click the orange cart to get the Book of Enoch and your Mark of the Beast.
Somebody on TikTok screwed up, and now these Books of Enoch are $10.
Yeah, that's hilarious. God's flooding the earth again before the rapture. Get your Book of Enoch study guide.
I gotta get myself a orange cart for my book just so I can do TikToks with that.
What's an orange cart?
It's like the TikTok shop.
Oh.
But like when you link it. Like people will do people who like are like what do they call it? Influencers.
Yeah.
TikTok will be like, if you promote this product, we'll pay you a portion of this. And so they add like the orange cart click link for the TikTok shop for an item. You're going to cut the circulation off of your toe and we're going to have to amputate it.
I look like Kung Fu Panda right now.
You look like a Ninja Turtle.
That was offensive.
Man.
If you did clips like a good boy, we'd have a lot of clips out of this podcast.
I was thinking that earlier about how many good clips there are in this podcast.
Yeah, maybe you should hop on that.
I'll work on it on my vacation.
Yeah, you take a lot of those. Have you realized I haven't taken a single vacation in the time we've known each other?
And I've taken like 3 or 4.
7. I've been counting. I'm just kidding.
That's really good. It's the number of computer.
Yeah, which
vacations.
Means you are done taking vacations, yeah. But you have fulfilled it.
So here's how this works. I technically get 6 Sundays off a year if I want them. 3 for ministry opportunities and 3 for like vacations or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many have you taken this year?
I think this will be my 6th one. Either
Dang!
Or like 5 or 6. Yeah.
That's not bad in a year. 6
yeah.
days.
Yeah. I try to be really good about it. I mean, I try to stick to the plan.
I've probably already taken like 3 days off since I started this new job.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. If I was a pastor, I would need at least like a month off. A year.
I don't take like the whole 6 all at once. I'm not like, let me have 6 Sundays off in a row.
Why as a pastor you couldn't take like a whole week off and be like, I could still study scripture, like my sermon's not gonna be affected by me taking a week off. Now I may
if
not
I'm studying it wouldn't be, but
I may not be praying on the square
yeah, this week yeah.
and doing stuff like that. But I feel like as a pastor, I would need a lot of time to decompress. Me being who I am, you know what I'm saying? After like riding in the truck with your kids for 30 minutes, I need to decompress, you know what I'm saying? So if I was a pastor, which I don't think I could ever be a pastor, really. I don't feel like that's my calling. Bob did tell me I have a way with words. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
You really think I have a way with words?
I mean, this episode in particular, not real promising, but this episode notwithstanding, yes, I think typically you do. Yeah.
I have a way with
words. You can have a way with words. You can also have some real hood street talk.
Hey, man. New creation, buddy.
That's right. That's right. I would say I do need some decompression time, but it's different. Like, it's weird because it's day to day. It's so the problem. I say not problem. The unique,
not the problem, the solution. Because name it, claim it.
Right. That's right. The unique opportunity in ministry is that every day is different.
Yep.
And so there are some days where all I do is have time to myself.
Yeah.
And that can be really good or that can be really bad depending on what mood I'm in going into that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then the flip side of that is I can have also days where I am nonstop having phone calls, text messages, face-to-face conversations, nonstop with people. And that can be either really good or really bad depending on where I'm at.
So do you kind of just feel like God gives it to you when you need it?
Yes, but also that whole God doesn't give you more than you can handle nonsense. There are some days where it's like heavy thing after heavy thing after heavy thing, and I'm like, dang.
Yeah.
Then I go home, and I'm just like, I just need to chill. And then my kids are loud, or, you know, Tiffany's like, hey, we need to go do this or whatever. And it's like, oh, I just want to decompress. I just need to chug a Celsius and take a 30-minute nap, get that factory reset.
You know, something I was thinking about is, like, I was thinking, like, God gives me rest time. God gives me my Sabbath.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that's true. I don't think. Yeah, no.
You don't think so?
No, I was thinking that, and I'll tell you why. This is how I think of it, and this might just be the wrong part, is, like, this week, I was supposed to have a Bible study on Monday.
Yeah.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I was doing something. And then Friday night, I was going to go to a football game.
Yeah.
Monday night gets canceled. I'm like, oh, I guess God wants me to rest. Tuesday night gets canceled. I'm like, oh, God wants me to rest. And I do Wednesday night. I do Thursday. I didn't do anything Friday. I took the night off. But
Friday,
I was like,
Friday we worked on the bathroom.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, but I was thinking, like, really, like, I'm, like, waiting for stuff to get canceled to see if I'm going to get this break. I'm like, I don't know about this. I feel like maybe I should, like, if I feel like I need a break, I should intentionally pray about this and be like, God, like, is it okay if I sit this one out?
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good point.
Instead of being like, oh, good, I'm glad, you know, my friend's sick and we can't do Bible study now.
Yeah, thank God he came through for me because I wasn't about to help myself.
Yeah, yeah, for real. Like, not saying no. Like, I want to say yes. And I feel like that's the virtuous thing or, like, the right thing to do is to, like, always help when you can. But I don't know. I don't know if that's what the gospel's saying. Is that what the gospels teach?
No, I don't think so.
Is that how Jesus lived, do you think?
So, interesting thing. This, man, we could go on forever about this. We just got to the topic and we're 48 minutes in. That is interesting. Maybe something we could dive into a little deeper in another episode. But I will say this. Jesus many times goes to be off on his own.
Yep.
And sometimes those get interrupted.
Yeah. By like 5,000
But
people.
He's not keeping himself busy. And then when something gets canceled, be like, sweet, I can take a break.
Oh, he's canceling.
Instead,
and then when something comes
instead,
up.
Instead, he is seeking the rest.
Yeah.
And when something interferes with the rest, he acknowledges it and handles it.
Dang. That's a fire way of breaking it down.
And that's the difference between us. That's the difference between the way we rest and the way Jesus demonstrates rest.
Yeah.
Is that we're, like, looking for the cancellation to come so that we can take a rest instead of, allowing the thing that gets in the way of our rest to be an opportunity for ministry.
Yeah, and we got to think about like what motivates us to like be saying yes all the time.
Yeah,
why do I need to be a part of this? Sometimes I think looking inwardly, it looks like a prideful thing. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, I need to be. Somebody said, I can't remember what the context was. I think it was today, though, that, like we're supposed to defend Jesus, and we're supposed to do this, and we're supposed to do that. And I was thinking in my head, I was like, if we never defended Jesus ever,
he'd be all right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't, like, God is using me, sure, but he could use somebody else that's like me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, but also, that's not like an excuse to be like, you know, I'm going to go fishing instead of church, and I'm going to go fishing instead of go to this community fish fry or whatever your hobby may be.
Clearly
balancing.
Wanting to go fishing, it sounds like.
No, actually, I've never been fishing.
Never?
I've been fishing, but I've never caught a fish.
Yeah, it's not great.
I know. It just sounds really boring. It's like mosquitoes and nasty water and sand in your shoes.
Yeah.
Or unless you're wearing those like weird shoes that like match your toes, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's weird, bro. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Why are we even trying to do this? Why are we wearing these?
It's like
you've got toes. You don't need shoes that look like toes.
Exactly. As Christians, like you shouldn't even have hobbies.
Yeah.
You look so concerned, bro. You're like, I saw like your face was like, should I agree with this for the sake of whatever?
Yeah.
Retardation.
Sometimes I don't know what to do with. Yeah.
Look, man, Christmas is pagan, but you know what they say about God's truth.
God's truth won't back down.
And neither should you.
Stay focused, stay aggressive, and stay relentless for God's glory.
Amen. I think it's neither.
I wrote that in there.
Remember, you said
neither. It could be either or either.
Drop a bar on it.